Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63 here with Buck and Lou. It is season 4, episode 13. This week we have two games to talk about, one against a Division 2 opponent and one against an SEC opponent. Both wins. That is the exciting part. And in addition to those two games, we'll be breaking it down. We'll talk about some milestones that we broke, at least one of our guys. And just talking about the overall outlook of the non-conference season so far this year. We've played now, I guess, 11 games, and we're about a third of the way through the season, at least the regular season. And, yeah, we're getting there. It's been an exciting year so far, and we still got a lot to play. So, Lou, how was your week? How did you think our Ramblers did this past week?
Yeah, very exciting, to see really just two interesting games. I think that was the biggest thing for me. The first game, of course, was a little weird, I have to say. I'm not going to deny that. But it was exciting to see, getting a kind of a smooth win, consistent control. And then I think it just set it up for, especially it was that in-between game of DePaul then to an SEC opponent in Vanderbilt. So excited to see that both came out strong and that we, played great in both.
Yeah, and then when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more, but I want to tell you all about a little problem that I found out about why some of our guys didn't play against Roosevelt and how it was impressive that they turned it around to win against Vanderbilt. So stick with us, and always remember, never forget, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter, Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets it, scores, it's over, we won! We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So the thing I was talking about earlier is I was listening to Bears, Blurs in Belgium, which is, for anyone who might not know, is the podcast with our alumni Cameron Krutwig and current player Will Alcock. They do a weekly podcast about those three things. And, Will was saying that, this past week, Ahir, Braden, and Ben Schweiger were all dealing with food poisoning, which is why they didn't play. And to the point where, like, Ahir and Ben couldn't even make it to the game. Like, they couldn't even get to the stadium. So it had to have been pretty brutal. You know, it was kind of interesting. I was at the game and trying to figure out, like, what was going on, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but, like, everyone speculates, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, he's on the sideline, is he hurt? And it doesn't look like he's hurt. Well, he's wearing a mask. Well, you know, usually players who aren't playing have to wear a mask. So your mind just kind of starts to wander, and after the game, Drew said it was non-COVID illness, which is good to hear, right? Like, never want that. But it was nice to hear Will clear it up for us, just so we had an answer. But, you know, that's not something that's like really easy to just bounce right back from. Like, I don't know, I've had food poisoning before and that affects you for a couple days. Like even, you know, like once you feel better, then like your body needs to get all those like nutrients back and like energy is low and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. And I was, happy to hear that they were all doing better. So, but to the Roosevelt game, which the reason why I started with this is because Ahir and Braden were both out. We had a couple fill-ins for starters. So we had Tate Hall and Keith Clemens step in the starting lineup. And those are guys who have, done this before, who have stepped in and stepped up and, you know, they're no stranger to the starting lineup. So, they started the game, and I think they both did pretty well. Roosevelt, D2 school, is in Chicago. They brought what felt like 200 players to the game. In reality, it was close to 20, probably 22, something like that. But it was a little bit of a tune-up game. You know, We talked before the season, every year we say this, we really wish there wasn't a Division II game because it does nothing. Like,
it's actually, lower than that. They're not even Division II.
Oh, what are they?
I believe they're NAIA, so that's just below D3. just because they haven't been in, they just actually brought athletics back in like 2010, Roosevelt. I looked it up. So kind of crazy, but yeah, no, I 100% agree with your point. I think you and I always, we always like get mad a little bit. We're like, we wish we didn't have anything lower than D1, right? But I think this was kind of that tune-up game to be the buffer between DePaul and Vanderbilt. The schedule blatantly kind of plans it that way. And it just, it's a win on the record books. Wish it was a little bit more dominant, but it's a win.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, like you said, it's just like, it is a win, but some, like, you know, I was looking at a lot of the different ranking systems and, there's a couple that don't even consider these games, like when it comes to like their ranking system. So, you know, it's just like, it's, I'm not going to say it's a meaningless game, you know, and they take every game seriously. But it's a tune-up game is what it is. And you know, it was nice to see some of the guys get, some more playing time that don't normally see playing time, or at least not that much. Like St. Thomas, for instance, and T.Y. Johnson and, Tom Welch as well. And our guy Will, you know, Will got in there, got 4 minutes. So it was nice to see those guys get in there, and, make the most of their playing time. Other than that, I thought Tate played pretty well. He had a couple nice threes at the end of the game that really helped his scoring line, but he also had 6 assists and 4 rebounds and 4 steals. And played 31 minutes, and that's definitely the most time he's played in a game, I think, this season. There might have been a couple that were close to that, but he's been kind of more around that 20-minute mark. So, and we know he can handle it. You know, we've seen him play these full 30, 35-minute games in the past. And just, you know, another solid scoring performance from Ryan Schwieger, 15 points. He was 6 of 7 from the field, hit all 3 of his 3-point attempts, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and a steal. And it was obvious that they were trying to work on some stuff. They were getting the ball into Huddy. There was one point, and then I'll let you kind of talk about whoever you want to talk about. But, I think it was at the end of the first half when Huddy had a couple free throws. And I can't remember if he missed one or both, but he was really frustrated. And, you know, I think a lot of these type of games, the guys, I'm not going to say they're on autopilot, but they're definitely, I don't know. There's sometimes less hustle, right? It's like, we're going to win this game. They expect to win this game. They're a better team. They're more athletic, all these things. And, you know, they're definitely working on some things, but it was just obvious that Huddy was taking it very seriously and was very focused and was upset when he didn't do as well as he expected himself to do. And I get, he came out of the halftime, break and went straight to the free throw line and took 20, 25 reps from the free throw line. And, you know, I do think that that's one way where he can really like step up his game as a big guy. You know, big guys are usually, a little less consistent from the free throw line. So if he can improve that part of his game, he can add another 2-3 points to his totals, you know, every night pretty much. So that was one thing I just liked about the game, and I thought Huddy really took it seriously. So Lou, I know you have some thoughts on the game. So what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so sadly I had to watch this one from home, and I don't know about anyone else, but that coverage wasn't too good on ESPN, so had to shout out some of those other people watching. But the other coverage that just wasn't seem to be right there was just, there was just a bad few minutes. And just, I think Huddy just happened to be in there. And that's where I saw frustration a lot, right? He wasn't grabbing a rebound. The bucket didn't go up, right? I think even Tom Welch was in a moment and he didn't have a bucket go in. He was 1 for 5. So I think the autopilot is kind of a great analogy, because it's like, it seemed like they just weren't going 100%, which is fair, right? Like, I understand this is maybe the game you try to dive for everything, right? Mm-hmm. But there were times where it was even like a layup where it was like, just like finish stronger maybe, right? So as a fan, it's really tough. As a person who can understand, don't want to get injured in a game like this and need to put it all out there, I get it. It was just like you expect some guys who don't get much playing time to try to get as much as they can in this, or at least be as crisp as possible. So that was kind of something I just took kind of a thought into. And again, I respect Drew a lot for, I really do think in games like this and in situations when he can, he's really trying to put the ball in Huddy's hand and get him comfortable running plays through him. Now, I'm not saying he's the only one they're going to be running plays through, but you just got to get comfortable. And I kind of nearly did chuckle, I'll be honest with you, at the fact that there were times where just Lucas wasn't out there. And then Drew looked at Lucas, and I'm pretty sure he just told him to get ready to get in, and he went to the scorer's table and went in. So I didn't expect Lucas to even play at all. I expected maybe 8 minutes. He played 17, so that's a lot, in my opinion, for what I thought he needed to play. But I think it was more beneficial, though, especially after we kind of really broke out a double-digit lead and then went into the second half. Was more the fact of seeing guys, the young guys, get in. We had a special moment with the I think I want to call them two bros because St. Thomas and T.Y. are very close. We saw that a lot in the open practice, and we see that still, I think, while we're at home games. So we saw a beautiful alley-oop there. I think the biggest thing is, like, even though it was kind of a tune-up game, guys weren't being ridiculous with shots. Like, Ryan was 3 of 3 from 3, 6 of 7 from field goal. Tate was 5 of 10 from field goal. We shot as a team 55% from field goal, 75% from free throw. So that's great to see, right? I think for me, it was just a game where it was like you want them to be perfect, I guess, in every way, right? Like you're begging for it to just be a quick and like 100-point game. And I'm not saying that this is what should, like, hold them back or anything like that, and I don't think this game will down the road. But it's just, like, sometimes the committees or voting people, they look at stuff like this. And it's just like, oh, mm-hmm. they only won by 40 or 39. Okay, well, that's a lot, right? But you see some schools, they put up 100, right? And what, Illinois State did that last year or whatever, where they put up 100 and something on a team. And that doesn't always mean anything. I'd rather take the DePaul wins and – the Vanderbilt win we'll talk about more than blowing a team out by 80 because there's just really no need. And in my opinion, we don't need this game. I'd rather a D1 school. But to have this game, I think we did fine. It was just, again, there were just a few things I saw, a few turnovers from guys. I just would like be like, come on, clean it up, right? But I actually did some digging on Roosevelt, read up more on them. They bought a school, Robert Morris, I think is a local Chicago school. They bought them. So now they have an athletic program. So I would love to see them keep moving up and even move up to D2 ranks. And maybe one day we'll have another, big powerhouse Chicago school, in the D2 rankings. So, but we swept the Chicago series of all the colleges in Chicago, that I know of have a basketball team. And it was really exciting to see, and it was pretty cool. I saw a lot of people talk about that on Twitter and stuff, so happy overall. And I think this was a great way to go into finish the week with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I got to talk about that Saint to T.Y. alley-oop, man. That was just, like, something special. Those guys are just athletic beyond comprehension. Like, those guys are just so fun to watch, and it's fun to see it happen in a game, right? Because, like, you know those guys are doing this in warm-ups or, like, just when they're trying to kill time or whatever, like, going out just having a good old time. But it's, like, different when it happens, you know, in front of, whatever, 3,000 people or however many that were there, like, in your unis. Like, I don't know. It was cool. It was fun. It gives you something to, like, look forward to for those two. It really just gets me excited about the future. And, like, it's silly. It's one play, right? It's one fast break play against, like it was an NAIA school, but just exciting. And you can see, like, the chemistry they have, like you said. And Saint had himself a good game. He had 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 steals. I love to see those steals. I hope he continues with that. He's got some quick hands. He makes some good decisions. I think he's learning from the best in Lucas Williamson, but there's something there for sure. I want to keep my eye on it, in the future. But, you know, one of the knocks, I think, at least for me at this point in Saints, his 10-year career, whatever you want to call it, is that I want to see him drive to the hoop more. And I know, like, you know, he's a good shooter. There's nothing, you know, I'm not trying to say he's not, but he's so tall. He's so lanky. He seems crafty. Like, he just seems like he's a mismatch waiting to happen. We know he can handle the ball. And, you know, even though he shot three threes, he did get to the free throw line, which is good. He made all four of his free throw attempts. But, as we'll talk about too in the Vanderbilt game, like, I just want to see it. I want to see it because I don't know if he's, like, can do it consistently. I don't know. I just haven't seen him do it at this level yet. But if he can, we've seen him do it on fast breaks. If he can just do that in a normal, like, offensive set, that brings his ceiling up, like, so much. Like, his potential up so much. So I just want to see it. I want to see him try to do it. And if he fails, then, you know, it gives him something to work on. So, it was fun to watch Saint play on Tuesday. I will say we don't like to talk too much about when players don't do well, but it was a really rough game for Tom Welch, I have to say. And I want him to do better. I hope he has the opportunity, but I don't know if those opportunities will continue presenting themselves too much this year. So we hope he's working back. I know he's got a little bit of a hand injury or a thumb injury. So I got to imagine that's, you know, impeding him a little bit. But he had a rough game, and we'll see. Hopefully he can bounce back. One thing we talked about last week was Chris Knight and his rebounds. He did have 6 rebounds in this game, Lou. So I don't know. Maybe he heard you.
Yeah, Chris Knight and his rebounds, I think, will be something I'll look into. I don't know if I don't want to come off as rude, but this game rebounding should have been potentially grabbing all the rebounds, right? But
stealing candy from my baby.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, let's be honest. It's a bunch of guys that you're nearly playing pickup with. Yeah, I think the Tom Welch one, I'm not going to deny there was a moment where he had missed pretty much an easy layup. And so, but maybe it's just getting back into it. And I think that's tough. He did come in the Vanderbilt game we'll talk about, but. On to the same point, I agree with you. I've talked about how much I think his game could resemble near that of Dante, especially the height and everything, and he has the ability to shoot. But Dante would always have the chance when he could go to the rim, he'd easily put a finger roll up into the rim and get close up to the rim and maybe an off glass. So I haven't seen too much from, and I think that's what we talked about even before we started recording. It was just would like to see that other part of that game. That could be elevated. Doesn't need to be the only thing he does, but I think always driving to the rim and being competitive. Like, look at Lucas, right? Lucas can drop a three and really can, when he finds a spot, he can, but he never, in my opinion, forgets about the drive. He knows he can go back to driving and get up there. So I think, again, not putting names, Saint needs to be the next Lucas, but Saint could learn about how to build a game and put different kind of scenarios like, maybe not a three here, I can drive here. And that's what you look for. You look up to these seniors and these veterans, not to be like, I'm going to copy their game, but copy or just learn about like situational stuff. You learn about what's the right move. I think the alley-oop was a good time, and thank God it did go down because I know those two have had some, at least T.Y. had some interesting tries with dunking to scare Drew. Mm-hmm. So excited for it. Again, there was a quick and easy W. But I think you, just for a note, we got to mention, I think you said student section was still packed. I wasn't there, but you said you were very happy to see the student section. So like you said, though, I think it's important. This game especially was right before finals. I think what finals week is going on now. So the fact that we can get some students going in the games, especially toward the end of the semester, is really critical. And to have a packed crowd, I appreciate it very much. So great to see.
Yeah, huge shout out to the pack, man. Like, yeah, they were, the student section was full for sure. You know, in previous games, they had kind of overflowed. They didn't have that this time, but the three sections of students were full. So, and loud and rowdy. And I think actually Ryan Schwieger in the post game interview talked about that. And he's crazy. Like, they're out here every time. It's different. Like, this is truly different than, like, in places he's played before. So, you know, those guys appreciate it so much. So keep it up, keep it loud, and let's keep it going, you know? So I mean, the final score of this game was 88-49, Loyola with the victory. Funny enough, they scored 44 points in each half. I don't know, just kind of a number, anomaly, but yeah, it was a good game. Good for our guys to get out there and see some other guys do some new things. And, you know, I was hoping at this point that, here and Braden and Ben were all going to be okay going into the next game. So, any last thoughts on the Roosevelt game?
Just excited we got a nice W.
That's
oh, and sure. Also be careful what you're eating in the dining halls. I'm not saying it was your fault. I've been reading articles. The dining halls aren't doing too much good. So, let maybe Drew walk into a dining hall and shape up that team and put some good food out there.
Yeah, let's see if Drew can recruit some new chefs. Yeah.
Oh God.
Anyway, moving back to basketball. So that game was on Tuesday, and then we had an away game at Vanderbilt down in Nashville. It was a Friday night game against an SEC opponent, and this one was definitely circled, I think, on our schedules, at least for us too. Like we talked about it earlier in the season, kind of similar to DePaul. Where it's a game that should have a pretty good shot at winning. You know, obviously nothing comes easy, but having it be against a power conference team. So, and an away game, you know, all kind of check marks, good things for our team. So, coming into this game, we knew we had to watch out for Scottie Pippen Jr. Dude has just been on a tear. He's a scorer. He kind of does it all for them. Except pass the ball, I should say.
He's also a friend of the refs, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, that's the truth. But he's just a very gifted player for sure. So we knew we had to keep an eye on him. And Vanderbilt just has this kind of funky gym where it's cool. It looks awesome, and I know the players like it. But they, like the first, like, I think 5 or 6 rows of the stadium are down. Like 3 or 4 feet. So like the very first row, you're eye level with the playing court, with the playing surface, which is, I think there's like maybe a couple other stadiums like that in basketball, but, this one's pretty drastic. So, just all kind of, you know, random things trying to get used to it, playing on the road. The benches are on the baseline. So they're like underneath the basket.
Horrendous. Which is,
also, yeah, interesting, not ideal, I don't think. But, as for the actual basketball being played, both Ahir and Braden were back, and they both look good, for sure, kind of in different moments. Braden scored the heck out of the basketball. He shot the heck out of the basketball. He finished with 18 points. He was 6 of 8 from 3. Almost had that double-double, as we've kind of had a few times in our season now. That almost double-double group is growing. Braden did end up finishing with 9 assists. And Ubach himself, I don't know, it wasn't one of his best games, but he had a few, like, really dramatic block shots that were exciting. And, like, just, you know, we talk about it all the time. He's just one of the most athletic guys on the court. And those kind of plays, just really prove that point. So, those guys are back. The theme of this game, was 3-point shooting. We sank 17 threes out of 37. I think we got better when it came to turnovers. We seem to be a second half team and limiting our turnovers, which is good. Let's see if we can kind of translate that to the first half. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch this game. I watched all the highlights. So, Lou, what were your – I know you had some thoughts. What were your thoughts from watching the game?
Yeah, my biggest thoughts, I think, were not only just everyone decided to be a sniper from deep, but the biggest thing was, I think and we've been talking about it all season, right, is the ball movement, right? There was one play – that we were moving the ball so much that I think it led to the turnover, whereas Ryan was, I think it was after like maybe 5 passes, Ryan was still continuing to pass. And I was like, I think at that point, Ryan could have taken it, right? But he was looking for maybe the better shot. And then I think Scottie Pippen or someone just jumped out in front of it. So that was one of those, I wasn't even actually mad. I was like, I think Ryan was just being too generous and trying to get the better shot, right? But I think the result of it was the great ball movement that opened up so many shots. There was a few where Braden just said, hell, I'm just going to take it. And the man was on fire, so I wasn't going to complain, I guess. And I don't think anyone should have complained, right? So that probably was one of the biggest things. I think defensively, we really only let one person score. Now, granted, they went off for a great game. They are the SEC preseason player of the year. So I think that also tips the cap to them. And also they, Scottie Pippen Jr. also knows how to bribe his refs. So I think the biggest things though for me were, two guys in almost double-double, contention. And that's both Braden. So Braden not only wants to just shoot the ball, he put up 9 assists. Like, that is very, very crazy, to think that you're the leading scorer and also the leading assist. So again, it's really interesting because people will be like, well, Cam used to do that, right? Yeah, but Cam was very different. Cam was right underneath the basket, and he also was dishing it out to wide open guys. So Braden's putting up shots and also creating shots. So I think that's also a different kind of mentality itself. So really tip my cap off there. And then Lucas, man, 11 points, but 9 rebounds. I think those are critical things to get. So for me, that was really big. I think the, one thing though, I really want to talk about, which is, just kind of, it's a little negative, but improvement is just, we need to get more rebounds, and meaning we need to block that Vanderbilt had 11 offensive rebounds, and that's just like not going to do it. There were just too many opportunities. We were just letting them get the boards. It wasn't really somewhat of a fight for it. And again, is luckily, right, our second chance points were a lot higher because, yes, they were getting the rebounds, but they weren't putting them back up for buckets. They were just still missing. So I think we were lucky there. But that game shows you that, hey, you give a team opportunity, some teams might not succeed, and some will. So I think that's the biggest kind of translation of, like, the gameplay that I saw was, like, okay, the second chance point, we gave them offense rebounds. They didn't convert on the second chance points. Well, aren't we lucky, right? Because I think if they converted a few more, this game would have been a lot closer and a lot more stressful. So definitely a thing to improve there. Again, I think Chris Knight Chris Knight knows where Braden's going to be, and Braden knows where Chris Knight's going to be, because Chris Knight, once again, just right there underneath the basket, and then I don't know if Braden's the one who did the second or this other assist, but then he just gets the ball, turns around, and gets the and one bucket and the free throw. So a quick 5 points for him in 10 minutes and perfect from field goal. What would I like to see? A lot more rebounds, ladies and gentlemen. Big surprise there. So that's the thing that kind of got me there. Love seeing Keith actually out there. Keith drilled a nice 3. I don't know where he's fitting in. He played 11 minutes. This was a game that was really interesting for me to see him because I didn't know where he was fitting in, right? But I think it was still nice to see, absolutely. Especially Ryan had 4 fouls, and I think he got his 4th foul kind of early in the second half. So if I remember correctly, I think that maybe is why Keith came in as well as Tate with 13 minutes. Tate, kind of interesting, no points, so there. But for me, really, last thing on who I want to talk about would be Ahir. Love him to death. Don't know why he took an extra 2 threes or 3 threes. He made this first one, so I think when the first one goes down, you want to take more. But what I really want to talk about for me and what I want to discuss with you, actually, just first player to talk about, and then you can go more, would be Saint. I think this game really, I know he only shot the ball 3 times. They all were threes. I do think this kind of idea of one, all his shots being threes goes back to what we're saying is just give us one drive, right? Just get, and that was the thing that was kind of what I realized was we didn't get to the free throw line. Like we got to the free throw line, I think maybe 3 to 4 times.
Six times total. Yeah,
at least six free throw shots total. I don't know how many. So it was just like a few and ones, but it was just like we didn't get to the free throw line. And I don't know if that's, again, we were shooting from deep. So I get it. We weren't scoring in the paint, wasn't our game. But for some guys, I really would like to see another opportunity. So something I think just carry over from our discussion with the Roosevelt game. But overall, we got the W. Again, we only won by 11, but I'm pretty sure we are up by maybe 17, toward the last few. Yeah, we were up by 16 with 52 seconds left. And Drew decides to put in, again, the victory of all victory cigars, Will Alcock. And the defense, they made a quick dunk, a nice little putback dunk, congrats. And then they chucked up a three at the end. So yes, the score is only 11. I think in reality, we would have won by 15 if we had the starters in and everything. But, I still think overall a great game and still a game we can talk about the movement it makes toward the ending of Doncon.
Yeah. And like my thoughts about Saint, I agree with you. I think he's got to show, even just to show a drive, right? And like, I do think he's a good passer too, which, you know, if you drive to the hoop, you have more likely that you might get double teamed. You might beat your guy and then someone comes to help and then there's an open guy. And I've seen his passing ability and it's impressive. I do think the nice thing is that he usually affects the game in other ways too. You know, he did have three rebounds. And usually those rebounds are pretty darn good rebounds, like similar to, you know, Marquise Kennedy, where he gets up so quick and it's just, he fights for him. He's a strong dude. He's a big guy. And that's kind of one of the things we were talking about way earlier in the season about like big man minutes and hoping to see like who of those forwards, steps up and is able to rebound the basketball. And just from what I've seen, he is a good rebounder. He uses his size pretty well. So I like to see that. But yeah, the threes, man, I wish he would just one of like the three attempts. I wish he would have, you know, 33% of the time, just take it to the hoop, see what happens. You probably will get fouled, like most likely. You're a big guy. As long as you're not, like called for a charge, you're probably getting a foul or you're getting a layup. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's something he's got to develop too and work on. Like, you know, maybe like, we talked earlier today about how Lucas was, just kind of like a 3-point shooter at the beginning of his career, right? He was strictly a 3-and-D guy and it took him a couple years, really saw kind of a flash of it in his sophomore year before he got hurt. And then even like his junior year, you know, he got a little better at it, but really it's been last year and this year that we've seen him develop that to the basket game. In addition to facilitating too. So I just hope that, you know, Saint is such a high prospect that I hope he like gives that the time and effort and, has these 4 years at Loyola to do that. Because I think he's going to be a special player. And I just want to see him continuously work on it and continuously get better. And that's one thing that I think he can get better at. But yeah, overall, I thought that the lineups were interesting. There's a lot of bench minutes. I think that kind of stems from the fact that Marquise had some foul trouble. I know he got like two fouls within like the first like 2 minutes of the game or something, which is really frustrating. I know the refs weren't the best, for sure. Oh, one of the other things I want to talk about. I thought Huddy played pretty well, in a couple other ways that maybe that don't show up in the stat book. I thought he, like, from what I watched on all the highlights and stuff, and game recap, he was making quicker decisions. And sometimes that quick decision, all it is pass into the post. He realizes that a double team's coming and he passes it right back out. And that can often lead to open shots or a hockey assist or, you know, what have you, right? A better shot. I love the pick and roll dunks. I think those are great. It's a lot of fun. Of course, he hit a three, which is great. So yeah, I just thought overall, and he played 25 minutes, which is a little higher than I think his season average. So overall, I thought Huddy played a really solid game. You know, these are the type of games I think we thought he would have, or hoped he would have, just solid overall outings. Of course, we'd like to see him have some more rebounds, but when your teammate Lucas Williamson has 9, it's like, you know, sometimes the balls just don't bounce your way. So, I thought he played a really good game and it was nice to see our bench play consistently. Like Ryan, of course, 14 points in 17 minutes. That's just like, it's really impressive. So, yeah, I thought it was a good game. I feel like I don't know how we went this long without talking about Lucas Williamson, though. Do you want to talk a little bit about him?
Yeah, from what I mentioned earlier, Lucas put up 9 boards and 11 points. I think just was chucking some threes, but 4 of 10 from field goal, so not too bad at all. But I think the fact that he was grabbing boards was relentless. Defensive matchup was interesting. You had Lucas, you had Ahir, you had a few different different kind of rotations on Scottie Pippen Jr. So I think that was the biggest thing. For Scottie Pippen Jr., he put up 23 points. We can't not talk about him. Just really the only production from Vanderbilt. Again, the SEC player of the preseason player of the year. The biggest thing is he's got the free throw line 10 times. And that's because the refs were just calling, I don't know what you want to say, just like a ridiculous amount of fouls. I felt like every time someone touched Scottie Pippen Jr., someone was being called for a foul on Loyola, and yet we did not get to the free throw line as much as them. So really just an interesting game there. But Lucas, no matter what, found a way to score and help Braden out. But I think him adding 3 assists really just showed, again, between the two of them, Braden and Lucas, 12 assists each, 9 rebounds. For Lucas, 9 assists for Braden, and both scoring in double digits. And then again, I think the biggest thing was, Ryan just, coming off the bench again, 17 minutes, but put up 14 points, just chucking from deep, 3 of 7, not bad. I think he got an and one. But a little foul trouble, I think, cost him to only play 17 minutes. Then they turned the ball over 3 times, but you know what? I'm not too worried about that. I don't think the turnovers led to too many points. So overall, I think a valiant effort by the team. But again, I think this was a good win. Not a statement win as much, but as a continuous statement win, right? Like this is like, oh, hey, they went down to an SEC opponent. Yeah, we saw, I don't know how many tweets I want to see that we got paid 80K. To be honest with you, I care less about the 80K. Again, I'm not the one receiving it, so that's why I care less. But I liked way more how we finished. 11 point win is not too shabby against an SEC team. So we tip our caps to Vanderbilt because we really, really do hope they go and beat off the ranked SEC team. So we look good for beating them. But overall, I think it was a really good game. A little kind of stagnant in the beginning. I think there was only 1 point that they took the lead, and then we didn't. We took the lead back for the rest of the game. But overall, I think the second half was a way better team. Not only for the fact of, I think turnovers were just cut dramatically short in the second half, which is, crucial. I think just to, I'd like it overall be, not as many turnovers, but I think limiting ourselves, I think only 4 maybe, in the entire second half. So very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, also just huge shout out to Lucas for 1,000 career points. That's really some impressive stuff, especially considering he missed like 2/3 of his sophomore year with an injury that I think he broke his hand. You know, it's obviously he's got the super senior year, which helps that out, but he's still got at least 20 games, probably, you know, hopefully if there's postseason and we do well and all that kind of stuff, closer to 25 games. He really could, he could pass some names on the list. I don't have it in front of me, but, 25 games, he's averaging, you know, close to over 10 points a game, you know, it's another 250 points or so. It's cool to see. It's a big milestone. I heard on the Blair's Belgium and Bears podcast that, Will was saying they are doing something to honor him, at the Norfolk State game, the next home game on Saturday, whatever day that
Sunday,
is.
Yep.
On Sunday. So, if you all can go to the game, make sure you're there to see the celebration for Lucas. But, another feather in his cap for his great career, all-time winningest Loyola Rambler. Hopefully here's to, I don't want to say another 1,000 points, but here's to many more points. So, I watched on the highlight video, some of the reactions, like you said, the whole bye game fiasco. I thought that was kind of funny. I just think it's funny, right? It's like, it's silly that, they paid us $80,000. Here's actually my theory. I don't know if this is true, but I do know that Vanderbilt didn't want to play at Loyola. There was a tweet about that, I think, from Kevin Sweeney, who just said that they didn't want to play at Loyola. So my guess is when they had originally started talking about games, Loyola either wanted to play a home and home, so like one game at Vandy and one game at Loyola, or two neutral games, because they did end up playing one. And I think Vanderbilt's counter was one neutral game, and then we'll buy you out to come play a game at Vanderbilt. I don't know if that's true. That's just my theory. I just think that, like, I don't think there's any way that, like, Loyola would have come to them with that idea, right? Because, like, obviously they want to get some home games against some top-level teams. But at the end of the day, you know, I'll take a tweet from John Rothstein calling out our Loyola Ramblers in any way I can get it. It's always fun to see the reactions and let the Twitter trolls be upset that, oh, it's not really a bye game because Loyola was supposed to win that game. And I was like, well, I see what you're saying, but you're wrong. When it paid us money, it's a bye game. So I just think it's funny, but it's like fun to see that these random Twitter trolls know that we're better than Vanderbilt. So, you know, it's like what's the opposite of a double-edged sword? It's like two positives, you know, it's like, but overall, just a good game, good outcome for multiple different reasons. Beating another power conference team that marks, you know, now we have an SEC win, a Big East win, and a Pac. I always forget, is Pac-12 or Pac-10? I always mess it up.
Pac-12.
You know, three big wins. All those teams are going to have a lot of opportunities to beat some good teams. And as we've actually seen, DePaul went on the road and beat Louisville. So they're off to a great start. So yeah, I don't know if you have any, like, other thoughts on the game or, you know, actually the one thing we didn't talk about was the kind of like historical context of this game. So if you don't have any other thoughts, I figured I might talk about that.
Yeah, no, I think it was, besides, like you said, setting it up, SEC, Pac-12, Big East, these wins just hopefully can help us down the road. If these teams decide to, step up and do well in, conference play, it benefits us more, and we'll be rooting for them, to really do well. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the final score of this game was 69-58. Our Ramblers moved to 9-2. And they have a week off, and they'll play Norfolk State on Sunday. The historical context of this game is really interesting. It's actually a story I didn't know. I'm gonna be honest here. Before the game, there was a ceremony to recognize the relationship between the Black Pearl High School, which is, I believe, in Nashville. Yeah, in Nashville. With their relationship with Loyola and Vanderbilt. The high school had, back in 1963, or I guess before that, Vic Rouse and Les Hunter, both played or were, yeah, played at Black Pearl High School. It's an all black school called Pearl High School. And they then went on to play on the Loyola, national championship team. And additionally, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm reading here and I'm scanning, maybe you know how the connection between, wasn't there an alumni from Vanderbilt as well during that same time period?
Yeah, So there was an alum, but the biggest one, from Vanderbilt was, Wallace. He's, Perry Wallace. So Perry Wallace, was just a few years actually older than, so long story short, Perry Wallace, if you don't know, Perry Wallace was Vanderbilt, played, I think his jersey was retired in Vanderbilt, one of the, greatest in Vanderbilt. I think they actually talked about that, Scottie Pippen Jr. is not far off from being in the top 20, of all time. And I think Perry Wallace is the name he just needs to beat. So Perry Wallace, funny enough, was also a guy George Arlen tried to recruit to come to Loyola.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that. They had a ceremony before the game to recognize the relationship between the high school, Loyola, and Vanderbilt. And there was some alumni, a group of Pearl High alumni that was there. I think there were some jerseys, right? Yeah, present.
Yeah, so – Yeah, so the big thing is, like, so Perry Wallace was the first African-American player in the SEC, and then he came from Pearl, and then Les Hunter being on the team of 1963. So both guys being instrumental in changing the game of college basketball and in the eyes of sporting world. So both coming out of Pearl High School I think was really cool, and I think there was a book about it, and that's why, again, I don't know, to be honest with you, if that's why we decided to have this tournament, but I think the fact that we even had in history that I never even knew kind of existed, right, is pretty cool, especially not only with Vanderbilt, but in the city of Nashville. So very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. And it's just, I think it's even more special because both head coaches are black. You know, both Drew Valentine and Jerry Stackhouse, both black. One of the, you know, I'm not going to say few black coaches, but, you know, it's a minority of black coaches in NCAA basketball. So, definitely a cool moment, for both, universities and both, alumni bases. I think that's great to see. And hopefully we can get some more games against Vanderbilt in the future. Hopefully they're not like DePaul or Northwestern that don't want to play us because we're good. I don't think that's the case, but I guess we'll find out from here on. So, yeah, overall, I think a great week, to be a loyal Rambler fan. I think before the season, we kind of talked about like what our expectations for the non-conference season were. And we only have two non-conference games left. We only have our game against Norfolk State, which is going to be this Sunday. And then on the 22nd, we travel to Davidson and play a future conference opponent, a future A-10 opponent, at their place, on the 22nd. And that's at noon. What day of the week is it? That's weird. That's a Thursday?
It's
a Wednesday?
Wednesday or Thursday, yeah. I can pull it up here. Yeah, I think, well, it's the Wednesday before Christmas, so I think, and it's also at 12. So I think everyone's done finals, and I'm expecting, people just to be told, you can just go. Now, again, granted, a lot of the guys are probably from Chicago area, so they'll just fly back, but, I don't know, especially maybe the game being so early. Hopefully Drew's hoping that they can get a flight back early. Then some guys can fly home. I'm picturing one guy will probably stay, and that's probably going to be Ryan Swieger. I'm pretty sure he's from North Carolina. Mm. So I'm picturing he probably just finds his own way home. But I think, yeah, the game is the 22nd. They always, again, this is new this year. We won't have a game until after New Year's, so in the new year, because, again, we played Indiana State so early for one of our conference games, which personally I like a lot, gives these guys somewhat of time to be home. I don't think the guys will be home for New Year's because it's so close to the game, but the fact that then they don't have to rush home right after Christmas, I think it's really cool and much credit. So, yep, two more conference games. One more home game in the year of 2021, and that's this coming Sunday.
Yeah, I think just kind of quickly, like, if they do go out and win these two games, which is a big if, Davidson's a good team, but they will definitely be favored heavily against Norfolk State. I think it's a very good non-conference season. I think definitely a little bit better than I had thought, maybe an additional game, but yeah, I mean, we've only dropped two games, both to ranked opponents, and had some big wins away from home. And we've won all the games we should win, which are the ones that we've played at home so far. So, we still have two games to go, but at least for now, I'm pleasantly impressed. I don't know what your thoughts about that so far are on the non-conference.
Yeah, again, I think that idea of like one more game, right? I do think maybe the Roosevelt game overshadows that. I don't know. I wanted maybe one more game. But Davidson's a good team, so we got that. Norfolk State's off to a great start as well. Can't discredit them. I think they're off to one of their best starts in the school's history, I think, for their basketball program. They're 9-3. So they're not really joking around at all either. So really excited. Again, I think the fact that our only two losses are to teams both ranked, I think, according today, in the top 15. And I think they're actually ranked one right in front of the other. So that's the biggest thing there. Hope those two guys do well. And then, again, we're getting some votes because of these games. Maybe if we had one more game, would that have made the difference? Or I don't know. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to this. It's really just arbitrary up to the voters. And we're just hoping that we can finish non-conference strong to get more of those votes.
Yeah, I think if we win these next two games in convincing fashion, I think we have a pretty good chance of being ranked. I'm not going to say it's certain, but a pretty good chance. So, yeah. Any last thoughts before we sign off here, Lou?
Just happy to have a nice 2-0 week, and again, just sad we got to wait a week.
Yep. But good luck to all the students on their finals. Student athletes first, or students first, athletes second. And hopefully they have a good week and they come back ready to win a basketball game on Sunday. So that's going to do it here from Buck and Lewitt Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.